Got our ducks in a row there. We got a massive sinner coming down the aisle over here. Massive, massive, physically massive. So Ephesians 5:17, we went through some of this last week, but I'd like to come across it again. So Ephesians 5:17 down. It runs 17 makes the statement, wherefore, about the preceding statements, and then 18, 19, 21 will be the result of that. And so he's looking for that. That's the result of being filled with the Spirit, verse 21. Then a couple other places we can go on this. So if the average person came to church and the preacher gets behind the pulpit and he says, turn your Bible to, and a lot of people be turned off with that. But what if he just comes in there preaching under the flesh without the Spirit? Same thing.
Right.
It's just that one is really made manifest. Kind of reminded me of that one play when you and Mike Kuntz kind of played off each other. Billy Sunday play. Was that the Billy Sunday play? Yes. Mike studied all the scenes with Otis on the Andy Griffith so he could get that down pat. But okay, so stand in a pulpit, you know, a little tipsy or whatnot. Obviously, the average person in church would not approve of that. But if he's there standing without the fullness of the Spirit, but same thing. It's about the same thing. And so we want to be filled with the Spirit. So Ephesians 5:17, we'll come back through this again. He says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So how do we understand the will of the Lord? Verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so in the Old Testament, you often will have types that portray something in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, the Jewish people did not know about the Godhead. So that was revealed in time. Jesus revealed himself to be the second person of the Godhead. And then before he left, he introduced the Holy Ghost to the apostles. So now we have the complete Godhead, the threefold. But in the Old Testament, in Daniel 5, if you want to hold your finger here, Daniel 5, Daniel is in type a picture of an individual or a picture of the Holy Ghost. So Daniel 5. So remember that when we read through the Old Testament, or when you read through the Bible, try to read through it doctrinally in one way, and you'll get some unique ideas. And then if you read it in another way where Jesus, remember in Luke 24, where he mentioned to the two people that were walking and he started pointing out, beginning at Moses, all the things concerning himself. So there were two men in the Bible that were rewarded for interpreting a dream, and they were given some fancy clothes, scarlet in Daniel, royal robes in Genesis. And they were given, I think, a gold chain. And one of them was put second in command, Joseph. And Daniel was put third in command. So if Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus, then Daniel would be a type of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so we always say Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So he's a type of the Holy Ghost in Daniel 5. In Daniel 6, he's a type of Christ. So when we look at it those two ways, in Daniel 5, verse 11, Daniel as a type of the Holy Ghost, there are six or seven outcomes when a person is filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. So in verse 12, he says, forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, so that's three, interpreting of dreams, four, showing of hard sentences, five, dissolving of doubt, six, Okay, we're found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. So there's seven. So the Holy Ghost, who is the author of the Bible, is the interpreter of the Bible. And Peter said that also. The scriptures are not of private interpretation. And if you make Peter the first vicar of Christ, the first pope, he tells the Catholic, the feline fanatics, he tells them that we cannot interpret scripture. Peter said that, so they should follow his advice. And then in 1 Corinthians 2, he tells us how he does it. So in order to get the right interpretation. So you have seven there in Daniel 5. Now the excellent spirit in verse 12, if we would go to Proverbs 17, we might see what that is a little about. Excellent spirit. Proverbs 17:27. So somebody is of an excellent spirit. Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Okay, there's a fine line in there about sparing of words. And then the excellent spirit. A man of understanding. Remember that understanding, it would be the outcome of the inspiration of Scripture. Okay, inspiration of Scripture is defined in Job 32:8. When a person understands Scripture, that's why 2 Timothy makes it present tense. All Scripture is given. So usually the scholars limit it to the past, okay, but it's got to be present tense. So that's Proverbs. Then if you would go one more place, Isaiah 11:2. In Revelation, John likens the Spirit of God to be the seven spirits of God. And so then Isaiah 11:2 gives us the seven spirits of God, or shall we say, when a person is filled with the Spirit of God, of course the Lord Jesus typified it perfectly. So in Isaiah 11:2, in 11:1 you can see the word branch, uppercase B. So that's the Lord Jesus, so you'll find something like the branch. Four times in the prophets, two or three of them are uppercase B. And those four would actually match the four Gospels. One of them says he's a king, one said he's a servant, one said he's a man, and the other one says he's a God or a Lord. And I think that would be this one. And that would match Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew shows him king, Mark shows him to be man, or servant, Luke shows him to be man, and then John shows him to be God. And that matches the four cherubs, where you had the four cherubs in Revelation 4. So the first is a lion, king, okay, the second is an ox, servant, the third is a man, no-brainer, and the fourth is an eagle, deity, okay, God. So the Bible is a fascinating book. It puts all these little things in there. In Isaiah 11:2, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord," so there's one, "shall rest upon him the spirit of wisdom and understanding," 2 and 3, "the spirit of counsel and might," 4 and 5, "the spirit of knowledge," 6, "and of the fear of the Lord," 7. So that would be the outcome of being filled with the Spirit. Okay, back in Ephesians 5. Remember that the very first question that was asked the people in Ephesus in Acts 19, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" That's the very first question that was asked. So this is a vital idea with the church of Ephesus. And I know that a lot of times when a certain group of people specialize or appear to specialize in a topic, or they pervert the topic, then everybody else seems to want to avoid it. Okay, just because the charismatic movement and the Pentecostals seem to focus on the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost and tongues, that doesn't mean we should avoid it. They're obviously messed up on it. Okay? Very clearly messed up on it. And so we need to look at it from the viewpoint of the Scriptures. You know, a person can react, but a person can overreact also. If a person is trying to get on a horse and they don't jump hard enough, they don't get on the horse, and then they jump too hard and they go on the other side, they're still not on the horse. So it often can be an overreaction. So in Ephesians 5:18, if we just stick with this passage without all the other places we can go in the Bible, we can see the characteristics of somebody who is filled with the Spirit. Okay, so he says, be not drunk with the wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And the first thing is speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So if you talk to yourself, people think you're nuts. Okay, but this is speaking to yourself in psalms. So we have 150 of them. Hymns, we got a bunch here. And if you don't know the number, ask Sam. He'll tell you the number. Okay, and then spiritual songs. Now, what is a spiritual song? He tells us in the next verse, singing and making melody. So the spiritual song has the melody at the supreme. Harmony second, rhythm third. American music is switched. Rhythm first, harmony second, melody's down here. And that is satanic music, or at least fleshly. Either or, fleshly can be satanic. And music, remember that when David played the harp, the unclean spirits left Saul. So our music can draw or repel spirits, good or bad spirits. Now, I know us men, a lot of times when we're traveling around in our nothing box, thinking of nothing, okay, that we could tune it out. Okay, but still there's an influence there. And when somebody gets into their music, they are actually connecting spiritually with the composer and the, quote, artist. And that's where the spirits, indwell them, unclean spirits. So in verse 19, obviously we need the right kind of music as a result. And if you go to the Pentecostal churches, and when you're on vacation, if you can't find a Bible-believing church, man, go to one of these for fun. Just enjoy yourself. Go to a black church. Jan and I went to one down in Florida one time. It was a Sunday night. And, of course, we were the only white folks in there. And they said, we want you to know this is the church of the open door. And who are you talking to? Well, we know. And they were going to have Jesse Jackson come February, so we didn't hang around for that one. But try one of them Pentecostals and analyze it and see what's going on. It's quite entertaining. If it's the Pentecostals, maybe in a hillbilly area or in a redneck area, like down in Madarieville or North Judson area, there's some good ones over there. They'll play pretty well country music, through the service while the ladies will face the speakers. Going on, hush on tie and tie bow tie, or saying all the motorcycles, or like Brother Dummer was advised, say Coca-Cola, 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 and then you can get it. Say Mountain Dew. I don't know. You really get it with all that sugar. And then it gets time for the preaching part. So we had one of these guys, and they will work on your converts. And so they had a Saturday night church. So Milton, Bill, and Dale and I went on a Saturday night church. They said something about, you could see that they were intimidated because we were there, and they said something about eternal security at the beginning. This damnable heresy, eternal security. And I go, amen. Just have a good time. And so, but yeah, you notice the music though. Okay. And then now they're getting into this barking dog and howling and laughter. I mean, how far are they going to go with this stuff? Okay, and so this is showing us what it really means to be filled with the Spirit. So in verse 20, an outcome of being filled with the Spirit is gratitude. It's just gratitude. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jan's praying about, you know, the next play. And she might have a lady's testimony, a missionary lady. And wow, what a testimony when I heard her testimony. And I forget what nation she was at, but she got raped as a missionary. And with her time with the Lord said to her, "Can you thank me for trusting you with this trial?" Now that's quite a statement. Wow. Meaning, the Lord, I trusted you with this trial. Can you thank me for it? And that, boy, that is another level of spirituality, isn't it? That's way up in here. And so Jan's praying about that, you know, as far as that goes. And it would be similar to, who's the one lady in World War II? Darlene Diver, yeah. Similar to that testimony. Okay, but notice giving thanks always for all things unto God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's another one, though. This is evidence of the fullness of the Spirit. Okay, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, period. So the sentence runs 18 to 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, I know men want to quickly jump on the next one and use that as a 66 caliber, you know, whack on somebody's head. But what about 21? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That is a evidence of someone filled with the Spirit. Someone who humbles themselves and fits themselves in whatever hierarchy, wherever they're at. Not always demanding to take control, not always demanding to be the head poo-ball. Willing to be the servant, because remember that Jesus said, what did Jesus say about Gentiles, what Gentiles like to do? Okay, Gentiles think leadership is being a bully, lording it over them. Jesus said that to the apostles. He said, but this is not the way it's supposed to be. And if you start traveling around the countries, unfortunately, this is how many, if not most pastors, especially Baptists, they seem to really kind of, you know, take charge of that idea about being a bully in the church. The Bible says, Jesus said, we are to be servants. Okay, now, America, at the beginning of America, because there was such a Christian influence, okay, in the secret societies, in the elite portion, they were trying to make America the next Atlantis. That had been Rothschild's, the Illuminati, which began May 1st, 1776. And then possibly the Federalists, that had been Alexander Hamilton and all those dudes, where they wanted the government to be like the bully over them. Okay, but the Christian influence, and under the Declaration of Independence, it said that you got to have the consent of the governed. Meaning if the people that helped develop that, didn't accept by consent the authority, the people retained that authority. A lot of people are messing up their history in America, and they're messing up their interpretation of Romans 13 because of it. Okay, and so the Christians of that day, they feared another tyrant like King George. Right? Because they just got out of that. There's another thing they feared is the feline fanatics, the Catholics up in Canada, because they armed their people. And they had fled England, okay, because of the persecution of Rome. So this is one of the main reasons they put that Second Amendment in there, the right to bear arms, because they were afraid of the... And you know, the first person to burn a Bible in America was a Roman Catholic priest in the 1840s. Burned a King James Bible because that was the first textbook of the public schools. And he didn't like it. So... In American history, if we understand our history and we understand our sovereignty as individuals, if a person doesn't know their rights, they're no better off than somebody who doesn't have any rights. And so whenever we're on a street, you know, whenever I've had a policeman come up to me, so far, thank the Lord, so far, everything turned out great and I stood right where I wanted to stand. And all I did was ask questions. Okay, and the questions are designed to keep that party as a public servant serving the master. Okay, that's the design of it. But you got to do that by questions, and then they comply. Now, I've never had a problem with this in all these years. Now, if they whip out the taser and that, then I will comply. But then the next day or the day after, I will go to the city attorney and say, I have a lawsuit prepared for a civil violation. And that attorney will educate the police officer not to do that again. We learned that down in Memphis by an attorney where he told, this is how you handle these things. And my goal is, one, is to maintain my liberty to proclaim the gospel of God, but two, also to keep my testimony. Don't have to get angry. Just be very polite and ask questions. Okay, that is the one, the glory we have in our country. The Supreme Court said once that it's not the job, it is not the duty of the government to keep people from falling into error. It is the duty of people to keep the government from falling into error. Now, that's hard to do at the federal level. In fact, practically impossible. But we can at the state level. Now, how do we do that? We understand hierarchy, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So everywhere we go, you go into a grocery store, you go into another store, there's a hierarchy. Most of it's understood. So when you walk into a grocery store, okay, there's a hierarchy, the owner, and then the workers, and then we, the guest, and we go from, you know, as far as, the you know, what we desire, and we desire the product more than the money, the currency. They desire the currency more than the product. So a proper trade is both parties say thank you. They're happy to get the currency. We're happy, or, you know, the card or whatever. And we're happy to get the product. We both say thank you. Now, when I go into the BMV, I have to tell myself, have a good attitude. Keep your testimony. Because it's hard to say thank you. Okay, because I understand the legal aspect of it. Once I was in down there, and somebody paid with the welfare thingy, and the lady said something about, you know, thank you for your service. I got up there, you should have said you're welcome, because you paid for it. Okay, but even that. So when you go into the store, there's a hierarchy. Now, if you violate that, if you don't subject yourself to the understood hierarchy, and maybe you kick something off the shelf or you cause a disruption, then they can call another hierarchy, you know, with a gun and properly arrest you. Okay, so wherever we go, okay, in the family structure, this is often the struggles that in-laws and parents have of adult children, is we often forget that we're equal. And in fact, when I go to their house, now I'm below them. And so I subject myself to their authority. Okay, and that's the right thing to do. So wherever we go, we recognize there's a hierarchy. And when you're on the top part of the hierarchy, be a gracious leader like Jesus Christ. A gentle, gracious, meek leader like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're down here in the hierarchy, do all we can to make this person's life easier, to be a blessing to them. That's what somebody does who's filled with the Spirit. Okay, wherever you go, you just discern whatever the hierarchy, whether it's in a team, okay, whether it's a baseball team, there's a hierarchy. Okay, a lot of times in sports, what's the key ingredient in a sports team is chemistry. More than talent. Chemistry is more important than talent. And when each player learns their role on their team and they maintain that role on their team, then they'll have a pretty good team. But when one player gets his nose out of joint and he wants to be the alpha dog when he's not deserving of it, then they're going to have fighting going on. And that's how it always is. And so submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, that's where that is directed to the one below in the chain of command. And we have a beautiful, perfect example in the Godhead. Okay, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are equal. But Jesus said the Father was greater than he. So how are they equal, yet one's greater? They're equal in the hierarchy. It's always the Father. The Son subjected himself and glorified the Father. And what did the Son say when he introduced the Holy Ghost? Who does the Holy Ghost glorify? The Son. Perfect hierarchy. And so that's why we have three in one. And so the Holy Ghost is telling you and I that we put ourselves in that hierarchy and we do the best we can in the hierarchy. Okay, if a person chooses to put their kids in a school, there's a hierarchy. If they don't like what's going on, you can offer suggestion, but leave the decision to the hierarchy. And if you can't approve of that, then pull them out and go someplace else. No fights, no trying to pull somebody else out with you. You just throw it out there. Okay, now if you're in a public school and you as a parent are going to go to the meetings, you know, of course, the Biden and company is going to brand you as a terrorist. I mean, that's what they were doing. And so that's why they're not public anymore. They're controlled by the NEA. But yet, in a local community, people can rise up. Down in Rensselaer, there's a fella. He's not a Bible believer. He's a pastor in town, I think. But I think the first Friday of the month, he's in the school library, and they have an invitation to the kids who can come learn about God. This is Rensselaer. And so nobody's forced to, but they can go there and learn. I don't think they're going to do that in California. So that's when the public can rise up and establish their own laws for their community. And America has lost this. They've lost this. We're losing our individuality. Tribalism is what takes place in the jungle. So the tribes jockey for the money. Women's rights, black rights, gay rights. What about individuals? And this divides us. These tribes divide us. And so we got to remember that our country began in the idea of the individual was supreme. So we're supreme over the Constitution. Why? Because who created it? The people. So the creator is greater than the creation. And that Constitution is a delegation. This is a shocking statement to some people. I really truly believe this, that the government and its officials can do no wrong when they're within their constitutional authority. When they step outside of that, the individual is doing it as an individual, and that's where they're a criminal, and that's where I have a right to question. It's called color of law, color of authority. Color of title, that's where the idea colored people came from. It's not talking about skin color at all. It's talking about a lesser political stance. Okay, and so America began and went for about 90 years where it was by the consent of the governed and then a result of dishonest Abe and company, then it became by force. How many of us are old enough to remember seeing on the police car, peace officer? Remember that? Andy Griffith, I think, used to have that on there. But then Barney got it changed, I think. Well, what is it now? Law enforcement. Okay, that is the end result. Peace officer came from the Bible. We find it in Isaiah 61:17. That's what the peace officers will do during the millennial time period. It's a wonderful position. Wonderful thing. So, okay, this idea of subjection. Okay, so wherever you're at, okay, some guys, you ever hear guys say, well, a woman should never teach, you know, teenage boys or men, they should never teach that. No, that's usurping authority. Usurping authority? What if the pastor thought that a woman was the most qualified, okay, and she taught over men? Is she usurping authority or is she obeying authority? That usurping is a whole different topic, and that's actually within a husband and wife relationship. Okay, so we can see what God has done through history. God usually is looking for a man. If he can't find a man, he'll get a woman. You got Deborah, right, in the Judges? You got Deborah. Couldn't find a man, so he got Deborah. And then when he couldn't find a woman, he'll get a kid. The little lad that gave his loaves. You see, and this is all part of hierarchy. All part of hierarchy. And so when I went through Hiles Anderson, we had women teachers, okay, that taught some of the men. I didn't have a total problem with that. But there was one of them, one out of all the ones I had that I did enjoy because she humbly taught her class. The bossy ones, I did have a problem in my spirit, and I had to tell myself, okay, you know, a bossy woman cop. Ooh. Yeah. Ronnie and I was hauling some dirt from one place to another in a grain truck, and we didn't have a board in the back, and a cop's on my tail, and it's a woman cop. And I saw her in the mirror. She goes, hell, when she did it like that, I just looked straight ahead and kept going. So finally, Ronnie said, you better stop. I said, oh, okay. So I stopped, and I met her in the back of the truck. And you don't got a board on the back of your truck. And I should have said, well, I thought you were going to watch it for me. You're behind me anyway. But, you know, sense of humor is not really there. And I said, we're only going over there. We would have been there by now if you hadn't bothered, stopped us. And I didn't get a ticket. Just had a discussion for a little bit. Why? Because she's supposed to be a servant. She didn't ask me if I was driving. She didn't ask me if I was traveling. I didn't even get into that stuff. But even at that. So subjecting yourselves one to another in a fear of God. Okay. And it doesn't matter the age of the party. Remember, the Bible is an Oriental book. And we Americans forget that. We forget and we try to interpret the Bible from a Western viewpoint rather than an Eastern viewpoint. And I think we get a lot of our prophecies messed up because we're looking at it from a Western viewpoint rather than a Middle Eastern viewpoint. And so submitting yourselves, this is why I am thoroughly convinced on this. This is one of the most important things that a person can yield to the Spirit of God, where we find wherever we're at, look to see where we're at. When I grew up on the farm, we built grain bins and pole barns, never built a house. Okay, then I started, I wanted to learn how to build a house, so I started with a company, and here I am. And I copied the fellow that I was working under. I copied him just like a little kid would copy somebody else. Why? Because I knew he was more experienced than I. Okay, and so I did everything that guy would do, and I'd copy it. And I think the first house, when we sited a house or an apartment building, it took us 14 days. The second time, same build, same site, 7 days. The next time, we got it down to 5 days. And that's because I just copied that man. I was the slow one for the first one, but then I just copied everything that guy did and become a better worker because of it. Okay, and so that's what the Lord wants us to do. Okay, an 18-year-old kid got 18 years of experience as a child. And depending on what age, 18, he's got a week of experience as an adult. And a lot of times a wise youth will go to the older for advice and learn from them. Our culture is terrible on this. Our culture is like Rehoboam. What did Rehoboam do wrong? He went to his own peers. Okay, and so we go to somebody who's an expert in a certain field and pick their brain. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, you can borrow brains, but you can't borrow character. And so people often say experience is the greatest teacher. Not true. Experience is the hardest teacher. It gives a test first and a lesson later. The experience of others is the greatest teacher. That's where you get the lesson first, and then a test comes later. So that's what the Bible, fascinating about the Bible, it's filled with the experience of other people. Crams it down to a few words, and then you can see the outcome. But the deceitfulness of sins is a person's, well, that won't happen to me. Well, if you jump off a building and land on your head, you might not hurt your head, but you're going to hurt your neck. And if you do it a second time, same thing's going to happen. The third time, same thing's going to happen. And so we learn from other people. We observe. We learn. Okay, and that's what the Lord wants to do. And this submitting yourselves one to another in a fear of God, so vital. Why? In a fear of God. He throws in a fear of God because if you would go to Colossians chapter 3. And verse 22, he deals with servants. And you can see in Colossians, he gives it a one-liner for the women. In verse 18, in Ephesians, he gave three. In Colossians, he gives a one-liner for men. In Ephesians, he gives three or four. And then a one-liner for children. In Ephesians, he gives three. And then one-liner for fathers. And these were typical problems that that person will have. And then servants. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So you serve that party like that party is Jesus Christ. You say, yeah, but they're a jerk. Well, if it's beyond, if they're a narcissist, if it's beyond that you can handle, just leave and go someplace else. Okay, but if it's something a person can deal with, okay, and then he says in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And according to Titus, this is the best way to witness to these people. They may not want your God, but they want your God's ethics. Okay, and then he says, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus, Lord Christ. So this is one of our ways to witness on the job by being hard worker, conscientious, with all fidelity, it says in Titus. Titus gives all that. And in these day and age, when young people have that basic attitude, they'll always have a job. And the boss will bend over backwards to keep somebody like that. Because they can't even show up these days. People don't even show up to work. Okay, and so back in Ephesians 5, it seems strange, but this is a spiritual idea. Working in the job is the ministry. It's a full-time ministry. Okay, if you have your own business, then you try to give a good product at a good price to folks. Okay, I find it interesting. In 1 Thessalonians 4, he gives the Lord gives like a very precise or smaller definition for holiness. And one of them, the fourth one, is don't defraud. Do not defraud. That's finances. That's business. In Leviticus 19, he gives the criteria for holiness under the Old Testament. And he says in there also, he talks about business. He talks about a just balance and a just weight, things like that. So under the Old Testament and New Testament, What we do in our career, in our job, in our profession, with our hands, the Lord considers that spiritual. If somebody's in political office, when they violate their oath of office, God Himself takes personal offense to that. They have violated that with God. And he's going to hold them accountable for that. This is one of the things that the founding fathers implemented, is that a public official had to take an oath and bond. They had to sign an oath. And you ought to read the oath of Delaware, Article 22. I mean, it is some, many preachers can't even say it these days. Article 22 of Delaware is, I publicly profess in a faith in Jesus Christ and the Holy Scriptures. They couldn't hold office until they said that in Delaware. And you just read through that thing. Boy, they don't say that anymore. Okay, and then that would keep that person under the subjection of the people. Boy, they had it laid out beautiful. Just beautiful. And that went well for 90 years, but then the devil always gets in there. Always does. Turns everything on its head. And then people fight and argue and all that stuff. Okay, so Ephesians 5:21. The final characteristic here of somebody filled with the Spirit is submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Okay, we'll stop there. Any questions or comments what we covered? Brother Paul?
Yeah, in regards to the Spirit, which I know there's a lot, but you have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you have the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and boldness. Is there a prerequisite? In other words, where it says be filled with the Holy Spirit, in goodness and truth and righteousness, do those have to be prerequisites in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit?
Oh, boy.
Pray for the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Ask the Spirit to
fill you.
Right.
And then you pray, Lord, I can't do this. You got to help me. You got to speak through me. And I'm asking you to speak through me. And when I mess up, Lord, just kind of quieten it down. Let it go in one ear, not the other. Not if I mess up, when I mess up. And then you just use the words as you choose.
The gifts are a gift, right?
Right.
Gift
minimum of one per person, and you can pray for more. One in this day, definitely discerning of spirits. Definitely. God, that's a must. Discerning of spirits.
But
so that one there.
Where to walk in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. That's a daily thing.
Yeah, a lot of that I think would be Ephesians, where we're grateful throughout the day and we're setting in our proper hierarchy and we're playing the right music around in the car if we're traveling around. That's all walking in the Spirit.
These things are something that you have to maybe concentrate on.
I do believe you do. Mm-hmm.
It's not natural for it to come on you.
Yeah.
There may be times, but most part, you have to work at it.
Yeah. Most definitely. Or you ask the Spirit to work through you, or you yield to the Spirit. And just be honest with Him. I can't, but you can, and I believe you can. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Usurping authority in that context would be a woman defying her husband.
No. It's kind of like looking at that. When a man's not available,
that's God. Okay.
So in Scripture, when you define, instead of usurping versus what's in her concept, you gave a word. I'm on right now.
Good. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Obeying. Obeying.
Am I wrong?
Now ask me how to spell that. T-H-A-T. Thank you, Lyle. He was paying attention. You weren't.
We'll see if people grew up in the church. I'm brand new. I'm still a sprouting seed.
Okie dokie. Anything else? Anybody have anything? Have prayer requests?